This podcast replay is brought to you by East Coast Public Adjusters. There's only 10 months left to reopen your Irma claim. Don't settle for less. For a free inspection, call East Coast Public Adjusters at 855-GET-ECPA.
All right, we promised you we're going to talk a little fantasy football with Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy. Andy joins us every Friday at this time to talk a little fantasy football. And remember, if you got any fantasy questions, you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can send it in on the chat board there on YouTube. You can send it in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. The other way to reach out to us is also on Twitter at Big O Show. Send them in there also on Big O Show on DM if you want, if you're a little too shy to get your fantasy question in. And of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. And more importantly, go to Yahoo Fantasy so you can get a in on your competition. Andy, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. I got a lot of shares of Nuke Hopkins, so this is a good morning. I'm ahead in most fantasy matchups. I'm feeling good.
You're nice. I like that. All right. Last night, what was good for you in that game?
Fantasy wise, like generally speaking, I think it was really good to see Will Fuller operate at basically full capacity after missing multiple games with a hamstring injury. That has been like that specific injury has dogged him through his pro career, but he's been one of the great boom or bust players in our game since he became a pro, basically from the moment he hit the field as a rookie. So really good to see Will Fuller healthy. I think we're going to be starting him as a wide receiver too the rest of the year. It was like, even though he didn't have much of a game, it was good to see T.Y. Hilton out there. Had a couple of near misses. I don't even know
if the drop was big, man. The drop was huge.
Yeah, a couple of them were just like right there to be had. A couple others where defenders made plays. I don't know. It was good to see him back on the field and in the mix. That's only going to get better. So that's basically two wide receiver twos who returned in that game. And then really good to see Hopkins find the end zone again. He's been weirdly like a high floor player without having the real blow up week so far this season, but just like full demonstration of his abilities as a receiver in his hands last night.
All right, so let me ask you something, because somebody's asking right now, what's the most important handcuff running back going into this stretch? That's an interesting question.
I gotta compliment them on just a really good question there, and for a couple of different reasons. Number one, like over the last few weeks, I read a pickup column for Yahoo Sports, and over the last couple of weeks, I've really been trying to focus on some of the handcuff backs out there, because like roster depth is one of those things that is really nice in September and October, and it just gets less and less important as we get to the money weeks, right? The idea is, by the end of the season, you want a team with the best possible starting roster, and it doesn't matter so much what your bench looks like. So this is the time of year that I really like to, you know, hey, it's cuffing season, right? This is the time of year we like to focus on handcuffs. And when you find the back who's in a situation where, you know, the running game is so good, the team context is so good, the offensive line is so good, that you're pretty sure the reserve can deliver maybe 90% of the production of the starter, you want those guys. So in no particular order, just a few guys who off the top of my head I think could be league winners if the starters get hurt. Tony Pollard for Dallas.
Yes.
Tony Pollard looked great. And not that I predict a Zeke Elliott injury, but if it were to happen and Pollard got starts in December, I would forecast him for something like 90% of the stats that we would otherwise expect from Zeke. So Pollard would be great. Alexander Mattison in Minnesota would be great. Of course, Dalvin Cook's been a monster this year. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards in Baltimore, I think, would be another really good name.
I was going to mention Gus Edwards. That's the one that I go, okay, last week, hell, didn't he have 100 yards last week?
He did on very few carries. And he's a guy, we already saw it last year, too. We know that Gus Edwards can be a difference maker. This year, I think he could actually be a league winner because that offense is so much better. Lamar's so good. That running game is so good. And he's behind the back who, you know, when, like, how often does Mark Ingram play 16 games? It's not like a regular occurrence for us, right? So there's a like of all the guys that I'm mentioning, Mark Ingram probably has the highest injury risk. So Gus Edwards would be somebody that I would absolutely think would be a necessary add for Ingram owners. Also, I'll throw out Rashad Penny. I think could be a thing if anything were to happen to Chris Carson.
All right, but wait a minute. Hold on a second. Here's where you're screwing up here, Andy. You're leaving out the most important handcuff back on the planet.
I'm leaving out Patrick Laird.
That's right, baby, Patrick Laird.
if I could just say, and I
you knew
this,
where I was going.
Oh, hell yeah. I tweeted this because it's mostly a joke, but it's not totally a joke because the Kalen Ballage thing can only go on so much longer.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I tweeted about it. It was only the third time in the history of the NFL that a player who saw at least 5 carries and 5 receptions delivered single-digit rushing and single-digit receiving yards. Like, it was a historically inefficient game in the entire history of the league. It had only been previously done by a very old version of Ricky Williams and by Lawrence McCutcheon when he was on his last legs with the Rams. So it almost never happened.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I find it funny as hell. He's actually looked good, by the way, and he's a nice receiver out of the backfield. That's where I think he's actually going to benefit. He might be, against some of the bad teams, he actually might be a flex guy down the line if they do give him more time. It'll be interesting to see how that whole thing develops.
Caleb Laz isn't everything you wanted him to be as a receiver? No, is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, Lordy. All right, Freeman with the foot injury. What happens versus the Bucks?
Yeah, this is bad because Brian Hill was really – like, it's funny. Brian Hill gets – it's not the entire workload. He probably gets 75% of the rushing workload there. He had a blow-up matchup last week against Carolina. I mean, we've seen backs go for huge gains against Carolina all season. They give up the most rushes of 10-plus yards on the year, and Brian Hill couldn't do a thing in the friendliest possible matchup. Now he gets one of the worst matchups. Like, the one thing Tampa Bay has done well defensively this year is stop the run. They are among the top 2 or 3 teams in the league in run stuffing. They allow well under 4 yards per carry. I wouldn't mess around with Brian Hill this week, but he probably is in line for another 15 carries and 2 or 3 touches. Or 2 or 3 receptions.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, another one that came in, Lockett or Allen Robinson. Where would you go here?
Wow, you can't really go wrong there. Hopefully your other starter at receiver is somebody like Julio or Michael Thomas or a can't fit guy, because I like both of these plays. But of course I'm going to go with Kyle Lockett. He's healthy. He's going to play. He's the guy who has the MVP contender at quarterback, and the other guy is tied to Trubisky. And like, it's just too much of a roller coaster with the Bears offense. Like, it's amazing what Allen Robinson has done over the course of his career with both Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. Like, those have been his quarterbacks.
Right.
Allen Robinson's a wonderful player, but you gotta trust Russell Wilson's number one over Allen Robinson.
Steelers, James Conner issue. Would you go with Benny Snell? Is that an option?
It's probably too far down in the backfield hierarchy there. I mean, I think Jalen Samuels is the guy who has, you know, again, it's not a situation where he's going to get 100% of the backfield touches, but he's probably going to get 65%, something like that. We're going to see a little bit with Trey Edmonds, a little bit maybe with Benny Snell, who's finally coming back. I like Snell. It's just he's not at the top of the hierarchy there.
All right. The other one I'm getting is no Matt Breida. Is Mozart versus the Packers a good start? Mozart, right?
Yeah, you know, actually, Green Bay hasn't been particularly, like, other than some of the early weeks of the season, we thought maybe that defense had maybe taken it up a level. Since that time, no, not so much. That Green Bay defense allows 7.9 yards per pass attempt and 4.8 yards per carry. So they've just been a terrific matchup for basically whatever you want to do, especially over the last, 7-8 weeks or so. Mostert is a guy who's probably going to get, it's going to be mostly the Tevin Coleman show with Raheem Mostert sprinkled in. So maybe you're looking at 8 to 10 touches. So if you want to flex him, I would say that's fine. Is he is he an RB1 though? No.
All right, Jay Ajayi is back with the Eagles. How do you suggest fantasy fans look at it? Because They say he's going to have a notable role. Notable. So that means he's going to get some touches. He had success with them. What do you tell fantasy fans if he's on the wire there?
I still got to believe that that's going to be mostly the Miles Sanders show this week. Sanders is like a really versatile, really good player. Ajayi is somebody who I could imagine being, you know, Ajayi's gone a long time without playing, without actual NFL game action, coming off an injury. So a notable role for Jay Ajayi might be 6 or 7 carries. I would not expect him to be active as a receiver. I think it's going to be 70% Miles Sanders in that running game. So, like, I think Ajayi in a pretty deep league as a speculative ad might be fine. But Jordan Howard's going to come back in a week or two. And once that happens, there's no obvious role for Ajayi.
What's the latest with Hooper at tight end? Somebody's asking.
Yeah, he's not going to play this week. The coaching staff has made some encouraging but vague comments about both Austin Hooper and Devontae Freeman. I would expect Freeman to come back maybe a week ahead of Hooper, but Hooper's not a guy I would drop, especially if you're in a situation where you feel pretty good about making the fantasy playoffs. I think there's a pretty good chance that we see him by the end of December, which is really when you, like, those are the money weeks. That's when you absolutely have to have players. And again, they said some encouraging things about him this week, so hope is not lost, but he's definitely not going to play in week 12.
All right, good stuff there. What's it called? What do you think about Odell and Jarvis against that Miami secondary this week? I would imagine that if you own Jarvis Landry, this is the week to start him for sure. I mean, you would start him every
week.
In
the revenge game.
But yes, the revenge game. Are you buying all of that?
Well, the other thing is that Baker Mayfield, who has obviously had a tremendously disappointing season, bunch of interceptions, but he's coming off a couple of games in which he's thrown at least multiple touchdown passes. If it doesn't happen this week for Odell Beckham, I don't know when. Like, I don't know when it's going to happen. Like, this is a great spot to get him right. It would be a great spot to get him, you know, finally that 150 receiving yard game, pepper him with targets. Obviously a good spot for Jarvis Landry. Actually, they've been using Jarvis Landry not just inside the red zone, but like in goal-to-go situations too. So I think Landry and Beckham are both strong starts. The way I have them ranked right now is Beckham still is a wide receiver one. It's almost a throwback week for me. I've got Beckham. There's so many receivers with difficult matchups, like deadly matchups this week, that all of a sudden I have Beckham back in the wide receiver one range, even though he's done nothing to earn it this season. And I've got Jarvis Landry as a pretty solid wide receiver too. So I'd say they're both strong starts.
Good stuff. As always, make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. What are you working on over there at Yahoo Fantasy so folks can check you out?
Oh, catch us on Fantasy Football Live 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday. It is, I can't guarantee that it's going to be the most accurate prediction show on online, but it is certainly the most fun.
By the way, is Kendrick Nunn like the... one of the guys that people, where is he on Yahoo Fantasy now in switching over to basketball? I'm just intrigued how much the rest of the country is on the bandwagon of Kendrick Nunn.
He's been a major fantasy story, and was a buzzy pickup, like, basically from week one on. So I would be surprised at this point if Kendrick Nunn, like, I feel like there was a moment there where we were like, should I hold on to him? Should I drop him? He put together a couple games that were, I don't know, like 11 points, 10 points, something like that. And then he blew up again. I think people were basically on him week one, week two. And now I think the whole world is kind of looking at him as a guy who's going to be a steady, you know, 15, 16 points a night, few assists in there. Just a fun story. And what a demand. What a, like, tip of the cap to the Miami Heat front office. Yeah. Who found that guy, like, basically, I think on the last possible day they could have signed him last year,
yep.
Dug him
off,
up.
Off of the Warriors.
And just a great pick on Tyler Hero. So, like, Miami's made just a ton of good choices over the last 12 months or so.
Yeah, well, they need it, you know, because they had no flexibility. So it made Riley do the things that he never does. Think about this. They're in the middle of a youth movement because Tyler Hero, the Duncan Robinson kid, dude, can shoot lights out. And then they got this kid, Carlos Silva, who is raw as hell, but he can defend and get rebounds. Check him out. You'll see he plays a couple minutes, but he plays 14 minutes and he'll have like 7 points and 8 rebounds and a block and a steal or something. It's four young guys that they have put into this lineup, and it has changed everything that they do. Because remember, Miami couldn't score with a fistful of dollars in a whorehouse. Well, now, now you add Hero, Robinson, and Nunn. They're all 3-point shooters to go along with Olynyk, to go along with Dragic, to go along with Butler, to go along with the guys they already had. And now all of a sudden, you got all this scoring, dude. And all these guys can score. And it's really interesting how they can really spread the floor on people and give people problems. They're not going to win a title. But let me tell you something. They're going to become that team that you don't want to play in the playoffs.
Oh, they're going to be a brutal second round matchup for somebody.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if they got to the, I mean, whatever. Milwaukee and Philadelphia are really good. But still, man, when you've got, I feel like when you've got a player of Jimmy Butler's caliber and you've got all that shooting around him,
exactly.
You're going to have a chance. You're going to take somebody to 6 games, maybe a 7th game in the second round of the playoffs. And then, you know, anything can happen. The other thing I was thinking as you were describing that, like, most teams around the league, when they sort of trade themselves into a situation where they can't possibly move another first round pick, you know, Miami's traded about all the first rounders they can. They're not that they do that because they're like, you know, once they do it, they're full of veterans, and there's no, like, you can't look 5 years down the road and think of how good they're going to be. Like, it's kind of now or never. But man, their young players are exciting. Like, it's easy to look ahead 4 years for the Miami Heat and say, wow, how are we going to pay for all these guys? These guys are going to be good.
Yeah. No, it's, and the other thing that they have an advantage over most teams, Spoelstra. He's better than most of the
absolutely.
He's better than most of the coaches, and he proves it every year with all kinds of teams. He gets the most out of everybody. The guy really is one hell of a coach, man. He really,
yeah, not to pander to you guys too much, but I do think that, like, on a national level, there's probably not a more underrated coach than Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Barons, tell them what you guys do on Sunday so they can check you out on Sundays.
Fantasy Football Live, it will be at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Whole Yahoo Fantasy gang is going to be there. Just check us out on Yahoo Sports.
There you go. As always, you are the best. Andy, thank you for taking some time, my man. Have some big wins this weekend.
Thanks to go. Good luck, people.
You got it. The great Andy Barons from Yahoo Fantasy. How about that? We got a little Heat talk and everything towards the end there.
Playoff push time, man, in fantasy football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right, we promised you we're going to talk a little fantasy football with Andy Barons from Yahoo Fantasy. Andy joins us every Friday at this time to talk a little fantasy football. And remember, if you got any fantasy questions, you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can send it in on the chat board there on YouTube. You can send it in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. The other way to reach out to us is also on Twitter at Big O Show. Send them in there also on Big O Show on DM if you want, if you're a little too shy to get your fantasy question in. And of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Andy Barons. And more importantly, go to Yahoo Fantasy so you can get in on your competition. Andy, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. I got a lot of shares of Nuke Hopkins, so this is a good morning. I'm ahead in most fantasy matchups. I'm feeling good.
You're nice. I like that. All right. Last night, what was good for you in that game?
Fantasy wise, like, generally speaking, I think it was really good to see Will Fuller operate at basically full capacity after missing multiple games with a hamstring injury. That has been, like, that specific injury has dogged him through his pro career, but he's been one of the great boom or bust players in our game since he became a pro, basically from the moment he hit the field as a rookie. So really good to see Will Fuller healthy. I think we're going to be starting him as a wide receiver too the rest of the year. It was, like, even though he didn't have much of the game, it was good to see T.Y. Hilton out there. Had a couple of near misses. I don't even know if I was
the drop was big, man. The drop
yeah,
was huge.
Yeah, they were, like, And a couple of them were just like right there to be had. A couple others where defenders made plays. I don't know. It was good to see him back on the field and in the mix. That's only going to get better. So that's basically two wide receiver twos who returned in that game. And then really good to see Hopkins find the end zone again. He's been weirdly like a high floor player without having the real blow up week so far this season, but just like full demonstration of his abilities as a receiver in his hands last night.
All right, so let me ask you something, because somebody's asking right now, what's the most important handcuff running back going into this stretch? That's an interesting question.
I got to compliment them on just a really good question there, and for a couple of different reasons. Number one, like over the last few weeks, I read a pickup column for Yahoo Sports, and over the last couple of weeks, I've really been trying to focus on some of the handcuff backs out there, because like roster depth is one of those things that is really nice in September and October, and it just gets less and less important as we get to the money weeks, right? The idea is, by the end of the season, you want a team with the best possible starting roster, and it doesn't matter so much what your bench looks like. So this is the time of year that I really like to, you know, hey, it's cuffing season, right? This is the time of year we like to focus on handcuffs. And when you find the back who's in a situation where, you know, the running game is so good, the team context is so good, the offensive line is so good, that you're pretty sure the reserve can deliver maybe 90% of the production of the starter, you want those guys. So in no particular order, just a few guys who off the top of my head I think could be league winners if the starters get hurt. Tony Pollard for Dallas.
Yes.
Tony Pollard looked great. And not that I predict a Zeke Elliott injury, but if it were to happen and Pollard got starts in December, I would forecast him for something like 90% of the stats that we would otherwise expect from Zeke. So Pollard would be great. Alexander Mattison in Minnesota would be great. Of course, Dalvin Cook's been a monster this year. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards in Baltimore, I think, would be another really good name.
I was going to mention Gus Edwards. That's the one that I go, okay, last week, hell, didn't he have 100 yards last week?
He did on very few carries. And he's a guy, we already saw it last year, too. We know that Gus Edwards can be a difference maker. This year, I think he could actually be a league winner because that offense is so much better. Lamar is so good. That running game is so good. And he's behind the back who, you know, like how often does Mark Ingram play 16 games? That's not like a regular occurrence for us, right? So there's a like of all the guys that I'm mentioning, Mark Ingram probably has the highest injury risk. So Gus Edwards would be somebody that I would absolutely think would be a necessary add for Ingram owners. Also, I'll throw out Rashad Penny, I think, could be a thing if anything were to happen to Chris Carson.
All right, but wait a minute. Hold on a second. Here's where you're screwing up here, Andy. You're leaving out the most important handcuff back on the planet.
Because I'm leaving out Patrick Laird?
That's right, baby, Patrick Laird.
if I could just say, and I
you knew
it,
where I was going.
That's oh, awesome. Hell yeah. I tweeted this because it's mostly a joke, but it's not totally a joke because the Kalen Ballage thing can only go on so much longer.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I tweeted about it. It was only the third time in the history of the NFL that a player who saw at least 5 carries and 5 receptions delivered single-digit rushing and single-digit receiving yards. Like, it was a historically inefficient game in the entire history of the league. It had only been previously done by a very old version of Ricky Williams and by Lawrence McCutcheon when he was on his last legs with the Rams. So it almost never happened.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I find it funny as hell. He's actually looked good, by the way, and he's a nice receiver out of the backfield. That's where I think he's actually going to benefit. He might be, against some of the bad teams, he actually might be a flex guy down the line if they do give him more time. It'll be interesting to see how that whole thing develops.
Oh, so Caleb Balazs isn't everything you wanted him to be as a receiver? No, is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, Lordy. All right, Freeman with the foot injury. What happens versus the Bucks?
Yeah, this is bad because Brian Hill was really like. It's funny. Brian Hill gets it's not the entire workload. He probably gets 75% of the rushing workload there. He had a blow up matchup last week against Carolina. I mean, we've seen backs go for huge gains against Carolina all season. They give up the most rushes of 10 plus yards on the year, and Brian Hill couldn't do a thing in the friendliest possible matchup. Now he gets one of the worst matchups. Like, the one thing Tampa Bay has done well defensively this year is stop the run. They are among the top two or three teams in the league in run stuffing. They allow well under 4 yards per carry. I wouldn't mess around with Brian Hill this week, but he probably is in line for another 15 carries and two or three touches. Or two or three receptions.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, another one that came in, Lockett or Allen Robinson. Where would you go here?
Wow, you can't really go wrong there. Hopefully your other starter at receiver is somebody like Julio or Michael Thomas or a can't fit guy, because I like both of these plays. But, of course, I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett. He's healthy. He's going to play. He's the guy who has the MVP contender at quarterback, and the other guy is tied to Trubisky. And like, it's just too much of a roller coaster with the Bears offense. Like, it's amazing what Allen Robinson has done over the course of his career with both Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. Like, that was a better quarterback.
Right.
Allen Robinson's a wonderful player, but you gotta trust Russell Wilson's number one over Allen Robinson.
Steelers, James Conner issue. Would you go with Benny Snell? Is that an option?
It's probably too far down in the backfield hierarchy there. I mean, I think Jalen Samuels is the guy who has, you know, again, it's not a situation where he's going to get 100% of the backfield touches, but he's probably going to get 65%, something like that. We're going to see a little bit with Trey Edmonds, a little bit maybe with Benny Snell, who's finally coming back. I like Snell. It's just he's not at the top of the hierarchy there.
All right. The other one I'm getting is Matt Breida. Is Mozart versus the Packers a good start? Right?
Yeah. Horizon? You know, actually, Green Bay hasn't been particularly, like, other than some of the early weeks of the season, we thought maybe that defense had maybe taken it up a level. Since that time, no, not so much. That Green Bay defense allows 7.9 yards per pass attempt and 4.8 yards per carry. So they've just been a terrific matchup for basically whatever you want to do, especially over the last, 7-8 weeks or so. Mostert is a guy who's probably going to get, it's going to be mostly the Tevin Coleman show with Raheem Mostert sprinkled in. So maybe you're looking at 8 to 10 touches. So if you want to flex him, I would say that's fine. Is he an RB1 though? No.
All right, Jay Ajayi is back with the Eagles. How do you suggest fantasy fans look at it? Because they say he's going to have a notable role. Notable. So that means he's going to get some touches. He had success with them. What do you tell fantasy fans if he's on the wire there?
I still got to believe that that's going to be mostly the Miles Sanders show this week. Sanders is like a really versatile, really good player. Ajayi is somebody who I could imagine being, Ajayi's gone a long time without playing, without actual NFL game action, coming off an injury. So a notable role for Jay Ajayi might be 6 or 7 carries. I would not expect him to be active as a receiver. I think it's going to be 70% Miles Sanders in that running game. So, like, I think Ajayi in a pretty deep league as a speculative ad might be fine, but Jordan Howard's going to come back in a week or two, and once that happens, there's no obvious role for Ajayi.
What's the latest with Hooper at tight end? Somebody's asking.
Yeah, he's not going to play this week. The coaching staff has made some encouraging but vague comments about both Austin Hooper and Devontae Freeman. I would expect Freeman to come back maybe a week ahead of Hooper, but Hooper's not a guy I would drop, especially if you're in a situation where you feel pretty good about making the fantasy playoffs. I think there's a pretty good chance that we see him by the end of December, which is really when you, like, those are the money weeks. That's when you absolutely have to have players. And again, they said some encouraging things about him this week, so hope is not lost, but he's definitely not going to play in week 12.
All right, good stuff there. What's it called? What do you think about Odell and Jarvis against that Miami secondary this week? I would imagine that if you own Jarvis Landry, this is the week to start him for sure. I mean, you would start him every week.
In the revenge game.
But yes, the revenge game. Are you buying all of that?
Well, the other thing is that Baker Mayfield, who has obviously had a tremendously disappointing season, bunch of interceptions, but he's coming off a couple of games in which he's thrown at least multiple touchdown passes. If it doesn't happen this week for Odell Beckham, I don't know when. I don't know when it's going to happen. like, this is a great spot to get him right. It would be a great spot to get him, you know, finally that 150 receiving yard game, pepper him with targets. Obviously a good spot for Jarvis Landry. Actually, they've been using Jarvis Landry not just inside the red zone, but like in goal to go situations too. So I think Landry and Beckham are both strong starts. The way I have them ranked right now is Beckham still is a wide receiver one. It's almost a throwback week for me. I've got Beckham. There's so many receivers with difficult matchups, like deadly matchups this week, but all of a sudden I have Beckham back in the wide receiver one range, even though he's done nothing to earn it this season. And I've got Jarvis Landry as a pretty solid wide receiver too. So I'd say they're both strong starts.
Good stuff. As always, make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. What are you working on over there at Yahoo Fantasy so folks can check you out?
Catch us on Fantasy Football Live 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday. It is, I can't guarantee that it's going to be the most accurate prediction show on online, but it is certainly the most fun.
By the way, is Kendrick Nunn like one of the guys that people, where is he on Yahoo Fantasy now in switching over to basketball? I'm just intrigued how much the rest of the country is on the bandwagon of Kendrick Nunn.
Oh, he's been a major fantasy story, and was a buzzy pickup, like basically from week one on. So I would be surprised at this point if Kendrick Nunn, like, I feel like there was a moment there where we were like, should I hold on to him? Should I drop him? He put together a couple games that were, I don't know, like 11 points, 10 points, something like that. And then he blew up again. I think people were basically on him week one, week two. And now I think the whole world is kind of looking at him as a guy who's going to be a steady, you know, 15, 16 points a night, a few assists in there. Just a fun story. And what a good man. What a, like, tip of the cap to the Miami Heat front office. Yeah. Who found that guy, like, basically, I think on the last possible day they could have signed him last year,
yep.
dug him off
of the Warriors.
And just a great pick on Tyler Hero. So, like, Miami's made just a ton of good choices over the last 12 months or so.
Yeah, well, they need it, you know, because they had no flexibility. So it made Riley do the things that he never does. Think about this. They're in the middle of a youth movement because Tyler Hero, the Duncan yeah. Robinson kid, dude, can shoot lights yeah. out. And then they got this kid, Carlos Silva, who is raw as hell, but he can defend and get rebounds. Check him out. You'll see he plays a couple minutes, but he plays 14 minutes and he'll have like 7 points and 8 rebounds and a block and a steal or something. It's 4 young guys that they have put into this lineup, and it has changed everything that they do because, remember, Miami couldn't score with a fistful of dollars in a whorehouse. Well, now, now you add Hero, Robinson, and Nunn. They're all 3-point shooters to go along with Olynyk, to go along with Dragic, to go along with Butler, to go along with the guys they already had. And now all of a sudden you got all this scoring, dude, and all these guys can score. And it's really interesting how they can really spread the floor on people and give people problems. They're not going to win a title, but let me tell you something. They're going to become that team that you don't want to play in the playoffs.
Oh, they're going to be a brutal second round matchup for somebody.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if they got to the, I mean, whatever, Milwaukee and Philadelphia are really good. But still, man, when you've got, I feel like when you've got a player of Jimmy Butler's caliber and you've got all that shooting around him,
exactly.
You're going to have a chance. You're going to take somebody to 6 games, maybe a 7th game in the second round of the playoffs. And then, you know, anything can happen. The other thing I was thinking as you were describing that, like, most teams around the league, when they sort of trade themselves into a situation where they can't possibly move another first round pick, you know, Miami's traded about all the first rounders they can. They're not that they do that because they're like, you know, once they do it, they're full of veterans, and there's no, like, you can't look 5 years down the road and think of how good they're going to be. Like, it's kind of now or never. But man, their young players are exciting. Like, it's easy to look ahead 4 years for the Miami Heat and say, wow, how are we going to pay for all these guys? These guys are going to be good.
Yeah. No, and the other thing that they have an advantage over most teams, Spoelstra. He's better than most
oh,
of the
absolutely.
He's better than most of the coaches, and he proves it every year with all kinds of teams. He gets the most out of everybody. The guy really is one hell of a coach, man. He really,
yeah, not to pander to you guys too much, but I do think that, like, on a national level, there's probably not a more underrated coach than Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Barons, tell them what you guys do on Sunday so they can check you out on Sundays.
Fantasy Football Live, it will be at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Whole Yahoo Fantasy gang is going to be there. Just check us out on Yahoo Sports.
There you go. As always, you are the best. Andy, thank you for taking some time, my man. Have some big wins this weekend.
Thanks to go. Good luck, people.
You got it. The great Andy Barons from Yahoo Fantasy. How about that? We got a little heat talk and everything towards the end there.
Playoff push time, man, in fantasy football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.